chapter 3. And I get to that last sentence in the last verse 18. And hopefully can tie the two previous messages into this one. Strange in reading the scripture. You can read it and read it and reread it and quote it and use it. And then one day you just put the two sentences together. I have set before you many times, grow in grace and in knowledge. But there's a result in that, an end that you're looking for, and that is that the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be glorified. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And whether I see it or not, I keep looking for that time when Christ once again is made known in his church, when he's revealed and people are brought face to face with him. It will be one day, dear ones, it will be. Would you unite your hearts together with me as we seek his face? Our Father, nothing less than grace stopped us in our way, set before us the only way in which we can face thee in peace at the end of our lives. And that was thy Son on a bloody cross, taking into his own body my sins and the sins of everyone that will be in glory. And there's such a vastness, not only in his glory, but there is a vastness in his suffering to which we will never get and never understand. And my Lord, we grow careless here. Looking at self, looking at our ways, and we miss the Lord Jesus in that day. Now, Father, as I told these, there is coming that day when the Spirit of God will make known, will set before us the one we've been seeking for, following after, and looking. And that day the Spirit of God will set forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And how our hearts will be changed. They are being changed as we look at him. But Lord, we look through a glass darkly. We see only small features. But one day we shall stand in the fullness of His glory. And the only thing that will prepare us for that is seeing Him now by faith in time, and especially when we gather on Thy day. Father, lift high the blessed Savior. Bring us all afresh and anew back to Calvary. And let us look upon Him whom we have pierced. For it was for my sins that He suffered. And I hope these can say that. Be exalted, Lord. And for that, we ask You for the Spirit of God to quieten and still our hearts and our minds and give us sight this morning, looking at the throne where our Christ is. Help these dear souls, I pray. Provide that necessary for the right declaration of Thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Second Peter 3:18, I'll read it another time. As no, if you want to, if you think about it and choose that this might be best for you, God said, grow. Same as a baby. That baby gets the right nourishment and is in good health, he or she will grow. And there's no reason for us to separate that and put it out there far away from us, because God has set these things before us. Every day. And as the days pass, you look back and you can see and remember the little ones. They grew up. It's just a fact of life. And it is also a fact of true Christianity that every child of God will grow in grace and in knowledge. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is but one end for which God gave you these things and this command, that is, that His Son, to Him be glory. Not in the future, but now and forever. That's our God, that's our Savior. To Him be glory. Before anything in this lower realm that we call our world, or this realm above that we call the heavens, stretching out The distance we do not know. The vastness we do not know. But before there was ever the heavens below, the heaven of heavens, God, and Christ and the Spirit, there was no earth, no planets, stars, constellations, no angels, good or bad. Just the great I Am was. But we can't use the word was or shall be with God. For He is. I am who I am. So before God ever uttered those first words, let there be, before that came out, God, our Creator and Sovereign Lord, had already determined the end. He wasn't leaving it up to your faith or your choice or your circumstances to get you to His Son. He had already determined how He would do it and when He would do it. Now, there are several learned scholars that teach between Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void and darkness. And they will tell you that God did not create it that way, but there was a gap, probably of millions of years, in that Satan, or the chief angel, Lucifer, failed, bringing one-third of the angels with him. And then there are those that believe in God, but they believe in evolution. And they say that in that million, those millions of years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there began to be, and I want to know how, that little one-cell animal that man is supposed to be derived from, how it got here. How did it get in the ocean? How did one day it walk on the land? So you can forget about a space of time. Though the earth was without form and void, it's just how you were coming into this world. But they say Lucifer failed and brought about the earth without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's mere speculation. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed belong unto us and our children. Deuteronomy 29:29. Don't spend your time trying to figure out or search out that which God has gotten hidden. Now, if you want to spend your time, you come to 2 Peter 3, last verse, where God said and left it for you to seek out the means, use them, and grow. Now, for that growth, like for a baby, milk, formula, whatever, and then food. For that growth in knowledge, God gave you a book inspired from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. And then God gave you a closet where you could go get away from everything and speak to the great Creator and talk to Him about opening the book and giving you an understanding when you read it. And teaching and instructing you. God gave you those two means. Solomon said, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice after understanding, it shall be You cry after knowledge, God's going to give it to you. James said, chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Ask God. And when we all began, I would say most of us, when we began, we had low views of God compared to what you now know after 10, 20, 30 years of following Him. God's different to you today than He was when you were converted. Many claim to have been saved, to accepted Jesus, but they remain as they were on that day that they claim salvation. And because of that, there is no worship today. Mr. Tozer left you a little gem in that little book, What Happened to Worship, written in the 50s or the 60s. I don't know which one. But I know this, God, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He's pleased. That's the God that we serve. Our God doeth according to His will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants, down here we're just a bunch of individuals, but the true church, God is making us one. But in heaven, it's one, it's an army. But still, God doeth His will among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? If a king comes to power, if a president is elected, if a governor is elected, if a mayor is elected, everybody that comes to any degree of power, God put them there. You say, well, we voted them in. Yeah. Don't take away your responsibility there, but they're there because of God. Now, if you do not believe that, go back and read what the Queen of Sheba and the king of a Gentile nation said to Solomon when they met him. Solomon, God hath chosen you to be king over His people because He loved Israel. And we get what we get, either because we've forsaken God or we are striving to please Him. Whatsoever the Lord is pleased, that did He in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, in all the deep places. Now, the deepest, darkest place. It's not for miles and miles under the ocean. It's your heart. Yet as a child, God in His power has changed you. And if you won't know the reason He changed you, then you can hear it in the eternal redemptive purpose of God as the angels sang at the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. If you want to know why God recreated you or is in the process of recreating and making you into a son or daughter of Christ, you can go to Revelation 4 and read or hear the song of the 4 and 20 elders that worship the one on the throne cast down their crowns and say, Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. You didn't get here by chance, no more than you got into the family of God by choice. Both were by birth. Now, in my first years, it was what the Lord did in my salvation, plus me. Receiving Him, following Him, saying a little prayer. But that was soon changed. The only reason you received Him, or you prayed a prayer, was because God had already birthed you into His family. And like a baby coming into the world crying, so you came into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne crying to Him for help. You didn't know that you had life. You never will know that you have life until you go to Him. And so my thinking was changed to now, like the old hymn, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. And children, I, from time to time, have that in the closet, where it seems as heaven comes down to greet my soul, or God would say, come up hither. And there's communion with the living God. Or sometimes when the book is opened, afresh and anew. But no matter how sweet the frame might have been in prayer or in study, I never put any trust in that, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The devil can make you feel good. But there is a peace that the devil cannot give you that comes with God. Now, the second area in which God didn't say if you want to, if you like to, grow. God said grow in grace. And the more you journey, walking with the Lord, salvation becomes the total and complete work of God. From awakening you, convicting you, or enabling you to close with Christ. See, that's what we're missing today. All was of grace. Not so today. I have on several occasions mentioned to you two of the greatest harms that's ever been brought in this land upon the true church. Number one, dispensationalism, where Mr. Scofield divided the work of God into seven different time frames. And he had a time frame when he would save Israel, a time frame when he would save the Gentiles, time frame when his message was only for Israel, and then a time when it was for his Gentile church. He said the first age, first dispensation was the age of innocence. God created Adam and Eve in innocence, but they failed, and God had to go back and rethink and redo His work. That's a complete lie. It didn't catch God by surprise. But he goes on and he says that the sixth dispensation that the world will see is the return of the natural Jew to the land of Palestine. You need not be looking for anything in the outward. It's not going to be. And then his last and seventh was the millennial reign of Christ on earth, when Christ will return with his saints and set up his kingdom here. No, he is setting up his kingdom in every believer's heart now. They know something of the power of God within changing them. Now, he was just a student of Mr. Darby, but he took it further. And then there was that second blasphemous, damning teaching in the church, and that was, started out with inviting them down to the mourner's bench. And then in your lifetime, it became where the great evangelist would invite you to the front of the auditorium or front of the stadium. But they did it deceptively. And they would place what some call Judas goats all over the stadium. And when he got up to sing, giving that invitation, then those that had been planted, they would get up and they would walk down to the front. And the reasoning was that we would make it easier for others to follow. And so they've swept untold millions into the kingdom of Satan. I shall wake up in eternity under that damnable delusion. It's become in our day like it was in Genesis 6, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The sons of God there were not angels, as some say. They were God in the fact that they were in Israel and they belonged to the nation, not necessarily to God, but to the nation God had chosen. And they went out and they saw the daughters of men. And they took them to wives, for wives and giants were born, and these became mighty men, men of renown. Mighty men, giants. So the giants in our day, some of them are less than 6 feet tall, not like a fence post, but they are giants because they've made great money. But to the child of God, growing in grace is when you take your rightful place before God as God increases and becomes greater, and the God that you serve this day is not the same that you served the Lord's day after you were converted. Not that God changes, he cannot. I mean, what's he going to change to? Something better? That can't happen. Or something less than he is? Well, if he does that, he'll have to step down off the throne. God cannot change. Only place God changed was in your growth. And when you bow the knee 20 years after you were converted, you're talking to a different God than you did that day. And your journey's different. The only thing capable of changing was you in the school of God's grace. Now I got two places, only two I think, I want you to turn. Second one to Ephesians 4. I'm sorry, 1. Getting ahead of myself, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Everybody got it? Verse 4, Ephesians 1. According As he has chosen us, God the Father has chosen us in him, God the Son. Before the foundation of the world, Lord, did you choose him to keep him out of hell? No. What is my purpose? God chose you in Christ before the world ever was, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why did God do this? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made you accepted in the beloved. All God did in eternity and in time, everything was for the glory of his Son. Most had their introduction to the Lord Jesus in Arminian circles, where salvation was based on Jesus' work plus us accepting him. The two disciples had the same as you and I as a young convert in John. Andrew heard John and he followed him, the Lord Jesus. And the next day he finds his brother and says, we have found the Messiah. Andrew heard John. John pointed them to Jesus, and Andrew, like us in our early days, we found him. The day following, Jesus would go into Galilee and finds Philip. And he comes and finds Nathanael and says to Nathanael, we have found him whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He made three mistakes. Jesus found him. Jesus was of Bethlehem, and Jesus was the Son of God. Did the Lord Jesus correct either of them? No. He left them alone because they were babes, knowing that they would grow from that birth to full-grown men to the glory of God's praise. And so he, in eternity, chose you. Now, if you're going to sit here and say there's nothing I can do about it since I was either chosen or rejected, whether you were chosen or not is none of your business today. The only thing you got to know is you're a sinner, and second, Jesus Christ receives sinful men. He's never rejected any. And if you want to go to hell saying God didn't choose me, you go on. But don't blame God. It's just you sitting where you are without making any move towards the Son of God. The Lord Jesus, oh, he's so different today than 50 years ago. My. 50 years ago, I knew nothing. And now, at times, I see him in his glory. And as growth in grace and knowledge continues, so God, the great Creator, too holy to look upon sin. And sometimes knowing that in myself that's all I am, I can only go and say, Lord, I'm coming through you, son. I approach nigh thee through the blood-bought mercy seat, my Lord and Savior. And God did not save me because he saw what I would do one day. God saved me all for his glory. Growing grace and knowledge. What does that do? It puts Jesus Christ high on a throne, exalted. We grow in grace and knowledge because God at birth gave us a hunger and a thirst. We couldn't stay away from our Bibles. Something was drawing us to the closet. My soul, how vastly different Jesus is today. And I come still with the awareness that the very root of sin, every sin, none left out, the root of every sin is in me. I think it was John Owen, might have been one of them said, the root of every sin of all the damned in hell is in me. And the only thing God's got to do for any of the seeds of sin to sprout and me fall away is God just leave me alone. I know which way your nature's going in mine. To offset that, you grow. In his grace and in that knowledge, it's like the little flower that came up, that one day you go out and it's in full bloom. That's our God. That's our Christ. And if God withdraws saving grace and mercy, again, children, I beg you, don't you sit inactive saying, God will not take that from me. You'll wake up one day and it's completely gone. Right circumstance comes along. I could be guilty of whatever, the greatest sin ever committed against mankind or God. I could be guilty. God, just leave me alone and withhold grace. And I join with Mr. Newton, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And oh, how growth sets Christ Jesus high above all angels, high above all men and women. And there at times I see him. Don't get a full view, that would destroy me. But at times I see him. But you know what happens when you're in that light? In his light, you see light. It manifests the dark spots in you. I got a picture sometime back of the moon. It seemed like you could just reach up and touch it. But the dark spots were greater than ever I'd seen, larger than ever I'd seen. And what brought those dark spots? they were already there. The moon was just reflecting the light of the sun. And what brings those dark spots in me? The light of the sun. And that's when I beg and plead for abounding grace and mercy. And I know in His light we grow. In those two areas, and as you grow, unto Him be glory in the church forever, until Jesus Christ visits us in power and subdues our hearts. We will continue as we are. And if you ever get to a state where that's where you just settle down, that's where you die. And dear ones, for this church to go on, Jesus Christ has got to become real, personal, and exalted in the pulpit and on the pews. Until that happens, we're just playing church. When Jesus Christ had by Himself, Hebrews 1:7, purged our sin, you know what He did? Hebrews 1:3, when He purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And you know who the Holy Spirit's going to point you to? Jesus Christ in His majesty and in His glory. Now, folk, quit looking at some little something you did and get to Christ and close with Him. When He by Himself had purged our sin. When did He do that, children? On the cross. Best I know, that was over 2,000 years ago. So you know all God does in time? He brings every one of them to bow, and in their hearts they repent, they believe, they receive, they close with Christ, and they walk away knowing they are a new person, different than the one that bowed before God. Again, we're missing that. Now, if God paid your debt on the cross, only thing you've got to do is find out, did He pay my debt? And the only way you're going to find out is by going to Him. If you don't get an answer the first time, you go back. When you get serious, you keep on. And God might do you like He did that Gentile woman. The disciples pushed her away and said, go on. He didn't come but for anybody but the house of Israel. She keeps on, she presses through them, she gets to Him, He tells them the same thing. I just come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was not going to be denied that day. She said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from Your table. And Jesus said to that seeking woman that He Himself refused to give a helping hand when she first applied to Him. Great is thy faith. See, you keep on. And you keep on. If you've got to spend every day in your life from now till the time they put you in the grave, you keep on seeking Him. And if you found Him, you keep on seeking Him. Because the only way you grow is feeding upon the flesh of the Son of God. Not literal, but His flesh is bread, it's meat, and His blood is drink. And we come oft to that table, when we need to arrange it physically here shortly. So whether He receives you the first time you go or not, you go back, and you go back. Well, I had one more place, but I didn't get to it, and I do not know whether I'm finished there or not. I don't know, but you ask the Lord to direct, and we'll try to follow Him.